right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today is another fan talk. I'm joined by Andy Steffen, all the way from New Jersey, and he's going to talk with me about his experience at the 2018 draft in Dallas, Texas.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, founder of FalconFans.com, one of the longest-running Falcon websites on the internet, on Twitter, tweeting about nonsense, at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this Locked On Falcons podcast. Today is a fan talk episode. We've had quite a little bit of a gap between them, but I am joined by none other than Andy, who has sent in many a question on our Q&As in the past year or so. And he usually is some form of Andy from New Jersey or something like that. It was usually what his handle is. So, you guys kind of know Andy because he's been asking questions on this podcast for a while, but, now you get to hear the man behind the voice or the man behind the tweets or the man behind the emails, whatever. Andy's all over the place with how he submits these questions. I'm rambling at this point, but, welcome to the show, Andy.
Thanks for having me, Aaron. Definitely. Yeah, it depends on how I'm feeling, if I need 140 characters or I need more than that to get the question or point across.
I'm trying to remember, is it you, Andy, that sent me this gargantuan email in February that had like 16 different questions?
Maybe. I mean, there's some other folks who go toe-to-toe with me from what I hear, but possibly.
No, I don't think that was you. Now I'm sitting here like, okay. No, because you usually... Okay. You usually, when you send me an email, you get straight to the point, I think. Someone sent me a gargantuan email. That it was just like, this is like 8 fan talks. Or this is 8 Q&A episodes, like, all together. I can't even answer all these questions. I don't think it was you, though.
No, I try to give it to you. I kind of get a feeling that, okay, he can maybe cut it up into a couple of different questions if he needs to.
Yeah. So let's talk Falcons, and in particular, let's talk the draft. Now we're like 2 weeks removed from the draft. You, as a New Jersey native, have been going to the draft in New York regularly the last couple of years. It has not been in New York, Chicago last year, and this past year in Dallas. You've still managed to go to both of those, but obviously sort of let the people know sort of what your experience was like in Dallas this year and maybe how it contrasts a little bit with sort of what you've grown used to the last several years in New York and whatnot.
Definitely. To start, Jerry Jones, he definitely keeps the idea of everything is bigger in Texas. It was a humongous fan festival outside of AT&T Stadium, and it was just tons and tons of Cowboy fans, which I learned from hanging out in the area for 2 or 3 days. Not everybody in the area is a Dallas fan, so a lot of Dallas fans came from all over Texas to come to the draft. So being that it was their home turf, there was more of them. But draft time, everybody's friendly. There's really not a lot of, except for Philly fans, aside from Philly fans, everybody's pretty friendly. And the experience was pretty nice. The one thing that was different was that it was in the stadium, so it was a lot more people, a little bit further from the main stage. And being that it was a Falcons podcast, I could tell you the reaction to the Falcon pick was a little bit of disgust. So when their pick came and they picked a linebacker, they were like, what? The wide receiver was there. You know, Michael Irvin came to hype up the crowd saying that they're probably going to pick Ridley, and then we pick Ridley, and they're like, ah! You know, it's like, oh, the rich is getting richer. It's not fair. So, you know, that kind of feeling was kind of nice, especially since I thought we were going to go D tackle. I was okay with the wide receiver pick, and I was like, okay, I could see it. It's a need. I assume we'll go D tackle tomorrow in the second round. So that was that. But it was a good experience. I'll see. I think the next one will be in Nashville. I'm not sure if I'm going to go, but if I do, I'll see what it's like out there. But it's pretty good. If anybody out there ever gets a chance to go, I'd recommend it. It's very friendly. It doesn't matter. When you do find another Falcon fan, it's kind of nice. It's not like we're in the majority ever. So, yeah, it's a good experience.
Well, I imagine Nashville being so much closer to Atlanta, you'll probably see a better representation of Falcon fans at the draft next year than you have certainly when it's been in places like New York and Chicago. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Chicago was a little bit of Chicago, but a lot of Packer fans. I was really impressed by how many Packer fans came to Chicago.
So, yeah, it's interesting to hear sort of the crowd, and you sort of mentioned briefly your reaction to the Ridley pick, and sort of saying, like, oh, you expect him to get a D-tackle round two. It's funny because, like, sitting here thinking, like, it seems like the Falcons, like, you know, we joke on here, like, oh, they zig when you expect them to zag when it comes to the draft. But it always seems like the second round pick often, I won't say every year, but often even throws you for a bigger curve than the first round does. Because, like, I think people sort of, I don't think Isaiah Oliver pick came out of nowhere, because I think a lot of people thought he was an option in round one. But I think sort of the expectation when they didn't take a D tackle in round one, it was like, okay, they're going to get that guy in round two. And I remember years ago when they picked Hageman, and that was like, huh? Like, what is happening?
No. The biggest head scratcher was when I was in Radio City and they picked Parade Jerry in 09. I was like, but Clay Matthews was there. Who was Parade Jerry? I had no clue who he was. That was like, at least Ridley, I had an idea. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's the kid from Alabama. He's a good route runner. Okay, I see the fit. Not what I thought, but okay. It wasn't like Jerry. Parade Jerry was totally a surprise.
Uh-huh.
Oh, never saw it coming. Didn't know how to react.
Yeah, good old Parade Jerry. Oh, those were the days. Yeah, let's change the subject on Parade Jerry. So I guess, you know, now that the draft is wrapped up, you know, there's not a whole lot. The Falcons just picked up Terrell McClain. They probably won't be making any more major moves between now and training camp. You know, if anything happens, it'll probably be, you know, contract extensions for various players or something like that. But now I think we can sort of put a button on the offseason. Sort of looking back, I know I'm sort of curious if you were one of those people, and I can't recall from your emails that you sent me, but were you one of those people that were a little disappointed that the team wasn't as active at the beginning of free agency? And sort of now that we have the value of hindsight to look back over the last 2 months or so, what are your thoughts on the team's offseason?
No, not at all. I figured the only way we could have been players in free agency is if we had extended Matt Ryan's deal before. And even then, the amount of money that was being floated around, I figured the savings wouldn't be enough to make a big move. Maybe if it was done before, we could have went for a bigger name D-tackle, maybe even re-signed Poe. But, I mean, even the deal he got from the Panthers, I'm not even sure if we could have put that together. So I just felt like the trajectory that we're on right now, we're always going to be, you know, bargain basement players in free agency. Not just this year, but for the next few years, you know, which is a good problem. To have, it means we have some good players that deserve a decent sized contract. Whether they stay for the whole time is another story, depends on how they produce and if they get injured or whatnot. But it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I'm always interested in sort of the psychology of fans, because I think oftentimes, you know, for the last 50 years really with the Falcons, they end the season in some sort of disappointing fashion, even when they have a successful season. Like we've seen in the last 2 years, it doesn't go quite the way that people obviously want it to go. And so I think that forces a reaction from fans to sort of really want to, like, use the offseason and particularly free agency to sort of, like, retroactively solve all whatever problems plagued the team in the last game. And I always find that interesting to sort of see, even when the team is successful, like the Falcons have been the last 2 years, and you can say, you know, logically saying, like, they don't need to, you know, they can tweak some things here and there, but they don't need to make any sort of big splashes because they're already good. That sort of tends to fall on deaf ears with a lot of people, because they're like, if we just sign this guy, then this problem that happened in the Eagles game, or this problem that happened in the Patriots game, or the problem that happened in the Packers game, or whatever, gets fixed. Yeah, and it's solution, like, And it's like, yeah. You can't go back in time to fix that issue. Yes, you're right. That player will help you out the next time that issue comes up. But next year, it's going to be a brand new issue that you're going to have to deal with it. You don't know what's coming. So I always find it interesting, sort of the mindset that fans get into, particularly, and I think it shows itself during those early days of free agents, now that we have the tampering period, where people just like, why aren't they doing anything? Why aren't they fixing the thing that I didn't like with the team? And it causes a lot of frustration.
I think I'm more in the same mindset as yourself, probably why I'm attracted to the show. I don't have the old, I remember when Jay Adams was working for the team, he would tweet out the little cartoon, sign all the players, you know, every single high price free agent that can solve it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how it works. You got to also worry about it. Is it going to fit? Is the chemistry? Is it? So, you know, I'm like, these guys, they kind of know what they're doing. They may mess up every once in a while, but they know more than I do. So I'm at the point where it's okay. And I feel the synergy right now with Quinn and TD is much better. I could see the little problems that were in the old regime of Mike Smith, who I have no problems with. He was a fine coach, but I could see the synergies where I could see where TD is like, okay, what kind of player do you want? He's like, just give me a good one. And he'd bring him somebody and he couldn't do anything with them, you know?
Yeah.
Where it seems like they really feel like, okay, I want a player that does exactly this, and then TD goes and gets that guy. Whether he works out, who knows? But I feel a little bit more confident right now in what I've been seeing, so... No, I'm not too worried about it at all. I never have that feeling anyway. If anything, I'm more like you. My biggest question is, is our fullback going to be one of these two guys we just got? Or is it going to be somebody on someone else's team that gets cut in that second game? I'm going to have to check the waiver wire in like August,
yes,
the second game to see if it's cut.
Yes, I am eagerly waiting for the waiver wire when we get to August and watching Thursday night preseason games, so watching the third quarters of games would be like, okay, is this guy going to get cut tomorrow? And if he's any good, like, maybe the Falcons can pick him up. So, yeah, those are the things I get excited for.
Exactly. I'm not even sure if our fullback is on the roster right now. I don't know. And then being that we start off the season with a Thursday night, I'm like, ooh, that puts even more pressure. I don't think they could wait till the end to get this guy. You know, he's going to have some practice time with Devontae, so...
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll see. But then again, another part of me is like, well, is this really going to be where Sark does his whole multiple tight end thing? And, you know, we don't see as many plays with a fullback. Who knows?
And we're going to keep this conversation going with Andy. But first, I wanted to let you guys know that you guys should check out the Locked On NFL Draft podcast with host Trevor Sikkema, John Ledyard, to keep updates on the 2018 draft as well as get a head start on the 2019 draft. It is a full-time job on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Yeah, man, I think the fun thing that I like about this regime, talking about, you know, sort of the waiver wire in August, at least for me, is like this team is active in August. Like if they see a problem, they're going to fix it. And that was something that just wasn't always the case with the Mike Smith regime. And I remember vividly going into that 2014 season and looking at Levine Toilolo and like, he's not ready to be a starter. The Falcons need to go out and try to get a tight end. And they didn't go out and get a tight end. And, you know, it basically had a black hole at that position the entire season.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
among other problems that year.
Yeah. There was a lot of issues. Like I won't sit here and be like, Levine Toilolo is the reason why the Falcons, you know, only went 6-10 or whatever the record was. But it is one of those things where like, I think like this year with the, it's one of the reasons why I'm more interested in sort of like, okay, if these issues don't go the way they go, like we could get to like August 20th or something like that. And the Falcons are bringing in a brand new fullback and expecting that guy, you know, we saw that last year when they went out and got Ty Sambrella. We saw that with Andy Levitre. I'm sure there's plenty of other players that, you know, you or other listeners could rattle off and be like, yeah, how could you forget this guy, Aaron? But I think that's an exciting thing about this regime. So even normally, like this time of year, I'd be panicking and hyperventilating, you know, about the fullback position because I'm one of those weird people that cares way too much about fullbacks than a normal human should. But like, I'm like, it'll probably just work out fine in the end because I know this team is, even if they're one of these guys doesn't emerge, they'll look for other options. They'll at least make the attempt. That's what I'll say. Like, whether they can land that option, who knows, but they'll at least make the attempt.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Looking at the team and how it's put together. And also this time of year, I think, too, at least me, I tend to look at the team and sit and look past even this year and go, oh, wow, the moves that we made now, what's going to happen next year? So, like, looking, I was looking at, like, the salary cap numbers for different players. I'm like, you know what? This might be the last year Sanu's around, because unless he really, really produces, we may need to move on from him just to make move, you know, room to sign this next guy, because we can't have that much money tied up in this particular position. And, you know, we have other positions where money's going to come up. We're going to have to start paying linebackers money. So those are the kind of things I guess we tend to look at, you know, the football fanatic fan nerds.
Yeah, I think all that stuff is fun to look at. I certainly, you know, I think there's a lot of options out there. I do think it'll be interesting to sort of see how it plays out. I think one of the things is, you know, I guess for me, I think it's interesting to be like, okay, this guy might get cut. This guy might get cut. We might move on from this guy, or this guy might not get re-signed, or this guy might get re-signed. But I still sort of, instead of sort of making the predictions that I think some people make at this time of year, like this guy's not coming back, or this guy's probably not coming back, or whatever the case may be, I still am like, yeah, that's a possibility, but we still have a whole season that has to be played before any of those decisions are made. So it's one of those things where I think, you know, not to say that looking ahead isn't interesting and exciting, but I think too often people take it a step too far and try to predict, you know, what's going to happen in March of 2019, and we're still in 2018. You know, that's one of those things where, like, because people ask me questions like, who, you know, particularly since the Matt Ryan contract has been signed, and it's like, okay, what's the fallout going to be? And it's like, I don't have any clue who's going to not be the guy. It's going to be somebody, but sitting here today, like, I have no idea who's going to be, but it's going to be somebody, and we'll be like, oh, that guy couldn't be kept because he cost, you know, $3 million more than the Falcons wanted to pay him, and because of the Matt Ryan contract, they couldn't pay him that $3 million more or something like that. So we'll see how it all plays out, but it is certainly fun to look ahead and sort of start, you know, playing with all the permutations of the roster tweaking that could be coming in the next year or so.
Definitely. And then the old adage that I've always kind of stayed with is that the healthiest team usually wins. So it's all about health. You know, if any of our guys were to unfortunately go down, it just changes the whole complexion of the season. You know, last year, Aaron Rodgers was hurt for a good chunk of the year. So all of a sudden the Packers fell off the map. It may be different this year if he's fully healthy. So I think people discount that. You know, for me, preseason's all about don't get hurt. Don't get hurt.
Yeah.
That's usually the way it goes. I think back to our Super Bowl season, and I'm like, wow, like hardly anybody got hurt that year.
Yeah, man, that's like the part that worries me all the time. And I don't know if it's just the pessimist in me, because I'm like, we've been pretty healthy the last couple of years since Dan Quinn arrived. Like, we've had injuries, but like one or two starters go down, which seems like a lot to some people, but when you compare it to like other teams that are like, have like seven or eight starters go down, like it's nothing.
And exactly.
The part of me is like one of these years the Falcons are going to have seven or eight starters go down. And is it going to be this year or something like that? But like they've been pretty good about that. So like I feel like the minute I start being like, oh, don't worry about the injuries, this team is going to be healthy, it's going to be the year that it happens. So I'm like always riding that fence of like worrying about that, but also trying not to worry about that.
No, you do have to do that. And I think it's fair. Like I said, for me, at my job, I have a Packer fan. So we talk a lot of football. And most of the time that the team hasn't done well, it's because they were decimated by injuries. There was like one year, like they had no secondary. We feasted on it. It was awesome, but they had no secondary. All their guys were hurt. They had like nobodies back there.
Yes.
So I can understand that. And we did fairly well. I mean, Trufant was hurt for a little while, but at least, you know, Jalen Collins wasn't smoking or taking any PEDs at the time, and he was able to help us out.
Yeah. Fortunately, he was not, or at least he wasn't getting tested. Because I guess the testing
that's
is
right.
Like,
he didn't get tested.
Yeah, they don't test you after August or something like that. I don't know. Maybe he was in the program because of his college. I don't know. Who knows at this point? And frankly, who cares? Isaiah Oliver's here, so it's all water under the bridge, I guess.
That's right. Which I kind of like that pick, too, because even though I thought we would go D-tackle, that one, in terms of the second day, in terms of the draft, when we made the pick, I was like, oh, okay, this player available. I like what he has, something to work with. We can finally move Rocky to the slot, maybe, and, you know, play around and totally understand it. We still need a defensive tackle, but I'm okay. We're picking good players.
Yeah.
That's also a good change, too. There's no reaches. We didn't draft fullback, so there's no reaches.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the moment, they feel like reaches. And then, you know, you think on it. Not the Oliver pick, but there's always like one or two picks. You're like, what? Really, Falcons? You know, in the moment. And then you think about it and you're like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. It'll turn out fine. And who cares? You know, that's basically the Keanu Neal pick. And among others, where you just feel like, I don't know about that. Like, that's how I felt about the Ridley pick. I was like, ugh. Like, okay, he's good, but like, ugh. A wide receiver in the first round, ugh. But it grows on you. That's one of the benefits of having a good team where, you know, and this was a headspace I was in 2 years ago when I was knocking him for signing Sanu and all that sort of thing, because I was operating under the assumption that they were like the team they were the previous years, and particularly in that 2015 team, where it's like they're just an average team and they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt and it's all going to come crumbling down. Obviously, it didn't that year until the very end. And now we're at a point now in 2018 where it's just like, hey, it'll all work out fine. And even if it doesn't, like, it's not going to be like it was before, where they're going to go 4-12 or anything like that. Yeah, you know, I say that. Let me knock on wood, because you know, anything could happen. But they're on the good path, basically.
No, they're definitely on a good path, and I feel confident in their picks, because like when I look around our division, I saw what the Panthers did, and that was kind of head scratching. They picked a bunch of good players, but they don't fit what they do. So I thought that was weird. I saw the Saints and I laughed. I'm like, you traded all those picks for a guy. I hope he really does be. I hope he's able to rush the passer, because if not, you really screwed up your team for the future. You're definitely in win now mode. And the Bucs got a ton of corners to try to cover Julio, which is fine. You know, that's fine. And they took our Vita Vea. You know, that's fine. But I felt like our picks, all of them, also made sense. Maybe not what fans may have wanted, but they all kind of made sense. They kind of fit the pieces. I could see it. Okay. We got that guy. Maybe not when I would have gotten him. Maybe not how I would have rated him, but it makes sense. At least their scheme fits.
Yeah, that is true. You know, I sound like sometimes I'm not like big on Dan Quinn on this podcast, but I do think he does a excellent job fitting the pieces together. That is one thing. There is no doubt about it that he does a great job doing, and he particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Now we just got to figure out if Sark can do the same thing on the offensive side of the ball. And that to me is sort of the big question. And we'll have to see how it plays out. That's going to be the question they need to answer. And sort of if the defense is going to be better than good, because we already know it's good, which is, to me, you know, is a huge, huge development, because for 2 years people were proclaiming it to be, you know, really, really good. And I'm like, I don't know about that, guys. And then last year, I think they finally lived up to that potential. But then, of course, the offense fell off. And so now we just kind of, you know, maybe one of these days we can have a good offense and a good defense. I don't know. Just surprise me once, Falcons.
And I don't know if that's ever happened in all the years I've been a fan at all. I mean, even the 98 year, they just had a lot of turnovers. Maybe 2012. They were pretty decent with Abraham on the team, but they've really never had a dominant defense as long as I've ever been a fan. So this is the closest they're coming to it, which I'm happy about. But then on the other side, I'm like, ooh, now the offense isn't that good. I mean, they're okay. They can score points, but I'm not sure they can score enough points.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's the question I'm sure I will devote 40 episodes over the next 2 months talking about that. So
yeah, but then I think the problem that you have is whether you drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak, to go, well, Shanahan did great in year two, so Sark will too, and it's like, well, why? What makes you really think that?
What
professional career has made you think that? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the question. I think it's easy for people to sort of say, like, oh, this happened. And I think with the understanding or the lack of understanding that things happen because they happen rather than things happen for a reason, which sounds obvious when you say it, but I don't think a lot of people do enough trying to figure out what those reasons are. And at least, you know, part of what I try to do on this podcast and all the other various content I provide on the interwebs is trying to figure out what those reasons are. And so, like, if Sark makes the leap, why is he going to make the leap? Is it just because he suddenly figures out Wade Phillips's defensive scheme in his second year that he didn't figure out the previous year? Like, maybe. Is it because he starts using Calvin Ridley the way that he should have been using Taylor Gabriel last year? Maybe. Is it because the offensive line is better because Brandon Fusco is more consistent than Wes Schweitzer? Maybe. You know, I have no idea. And those are the sort of the big, we'll find out in September through December and whatnot. But, you know, right now, sort of just assuming that it will all fall into place, not really what I do. And so it's more just trying to figure out, okay, like, if things do go well, it's going to be because of this and this. And you know, that's hard to do. You know, it all becomes obvious in hindsight. But, you know, in trying to find that foresight, I guess, becomes a lot harder to do. And so that's going to be the big questions. And until we actually see football being played, you know, it's just guessing at this point.
Definitely, definitely. I think if it does improve, I think it may be because of Greg Knapp. I don't think he's like the greatest coach in sliced bread, but I do think having a veteran coach to help should improve things, because I just felt like watching the offense a little bit last year, it just felt part at times that it was kind of vanilla. It kind of felt like I couldn't figure out what they were trying to accomplish. And I was just like, I don't know, maybe he is overmatched against certain coaches and maybe a veteran eye would help. So I'm hoping that is the case.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's funny. Like, could you imagine the 2005 or 2006 versions of ourselves being like, Greg Knapp is going to add a lot to the Falcons offense. Yeah. So.
Well, my joke was, I hope he lets Matt Ryan audible, because we saw what happened when he wouldn't let Michael Vick audible. That was a disaster.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Like, you know, I think Knapp will help. I'm not as convinced that, like, it's going to matter that much. I don't know. I just feel like, I think there's certain things that Greg Knapp, when he was an OC in the NFL, he was good at. Like, he was really good at juggling a two-headed backfield. I think he's a good quarterback coach. But I don't know how those two things make Sark's offense better, you know? Like, maybe I'm not giving him... Maybe that's not an accurate assessment of his strengths and weaknesses. Maybe that's the case, but I don't know. Like, I think he'll help, but, like, I don't feel like if the offense jumps from, like, I guess, like, for me, it's like if the offense goes from, you know, 14 or whatever they were last year in scoring offense to, like, 7, I don't think it's really because Greg Knapp came in and helped them. I just think, like, they should have been 7 last year to begin with, if you ask me. It's just kind of like, they did the things that they should have been doing last year, I guess. So, I guess we'll see how it plays out. I'm certainly, you know, sitting here in May, waiting for actual football to be played in August and September. So it's a long wait, and so I'm eager to see what happens.
It is a long wait, but I do think there's some things that are better. Like, you know, I do feel good about the defense. I feel 10 times better about special teams, because I do feel like we made a focus there in the type of players we've been drafting in the bottom of the draft and some of these undrafted free agents. So I think we'll cover better and hopefully make better decisions, even if it is a fair catch. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And not run out kickoffs, you know, Just take the 25 yards. I don't know why anyone runs a kickoff out anymore.
Just take it. I don't understand. Like, this is where people who dump on analytics, it's like analytics would just nip this issue in the bud so easily. Like, you would know exactly your chances of getting the ball past the 25-yard line by taking it out if you just had, you know, some intern, some offensive assistant just run the numbers, and it'd be like, oh, okay, like, don't ever take the ball out of the end zone when it's more than 2 yards deep or something like that. And boom, all of a sudden now you've gotten, you know, 8% better because your field position is going to be 8% better or whatever the percentage is offensively. So, yeah, man, it's going to be an exciting season. And I think the fun thing is, like, you know, the good thing is like the team is going to be good. Even if the things don't go the way we want them to, like, I feel like we're well past the days of, like, I don't know, like, this team could just as easily be a 6-10 team as it is a 10-6 team. I feel like that's not the case anymore, even though there were certainly times last season where I felt like that was the case, particularly, you know, when we were losing to AFC East teams. But, like, they figure it out. And so I feel, you know, when I'm in the middle of some mood swing come October or something because the Falcons are struggling against whoever they're playing. And then I'm like, oh my God, this team is the worst. And then I was just like, it'll probably work out. That's why I just had to remind myself of that.
Yeah. The only thing I do, which is kind of odd, is that I will look at how the team has done against certain teams, even though I don't know why that makes any sense. So, for instance, we're playing the Browns. The Browns stink. They've always stunk. But we never beat the Browns. Just as an organization, we don't beat the Browns. So I'm like, that might actually be a loss. No matter how bad that team is, that's a game I actually have to worry about when I watch it.
Yeah. Look, I'm that way with the Bucks. Like, it's, hey, the Bucks are bad. They're always going to give you one 200-plus yard Julio game. And you're going to, you know, you're going to have no problem with winning that game. But if you look at Jameis Winston's numbers against the Falcons in his career, like, he is lights out against us. And yes. So there's that other game, basically, the game that Julio doesn't get the 250 yards receiving. Jameis is going to have them in that game for a pretty good – he's going to make a sweat. And whether they find a way to win the game or not, who knows? And, you know, it is always fascinating to sort of see, like, even when you're – feeling good about the team, you're like, that other team is terrible, that these games, you know, I think everybody recognizes that as part of the parity in the league, but it's just like these games are always so close, even when you're the best team versus the, you know, I always say, like, the gap between the best team in the NFL and the worst team in the NFL is much smaller than the gap is between the worst NFL team and the best college football team, even though I think some people think that statement is not true.
Yeah, probably the SEC fans.
Yes, definitely the SEC fans. Well, Andy, I appreciate you coming on and talk with me. Is there anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
Oh, no, that was it. I appreciate you having me on. It was kind of cool to chop it up a bit, get to talk about the team and their draft. Like I said before, if anybody ever gets a chance to go experience the draft, I'd recommend it. It's kind of fun. Different way to do it. I'm interacting with other teams, peoples, and just try your best to support the team and not always drink the Kool-Aid and go with whatever you read on the internet in terms of the columnists' feelings, and kind of just try to take a step back and have some faith in the management of the squad and the coaches and that sort of thing. So I think we'll be okay this year. Yeah. I don't know if we'll make Super Bowl just because it's in Atlanta or anything. It'd be nice, but, you know, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there someday. I think it's interesting you said, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, I remember you mentioned Parade Jerry. I remember when we drafted Parade Jerry, like, the guy who was covering the Falcons, Pat Jasinskis, who was at that time for ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
He was covering the entire NFC South. And, like, he compared Parade Jerry to Warren Sapp. And I was like, ugh, really? Ugh. Like, that got people, you know, I remember Jamal Anderson when he got drafted. You know, he's the next Mario Williams. They're like, oh boy. Oh. So.
True. But at the same time, I have to admit, I was there when they drafted Matt Ryan, and I wasn't super excited. I thought he was going to be an interception machine. So I've been pleasantly eating crow these past 10 years.
Yes. I remember the Desmond Trufant comp was Champ Bailey, and I'm like, okay, guys, let's calm down. Like, he's not that good, and he's pretty close.
Pretty accurate.
Like, sometimes those wild, you know, comparisons completely the worst thing that's ever been mentioned by a person who covers sports, and sometimes they're actually pretty wild. So I think it's one of those things. You just throw enough darts at the board. Something will eventually land.
Yep. And D'Angelo Hall, he retired today.
So yes.
I don't know if anybody in Falcons land cares. But when he was here for those 4 years, for at least three of them, I enjoyed watching him play against T.O.
I have a soft spot for D'Angelo Hall, even though I know logically I shouldn't. But like, he was fun. Yeah. He was fun for
the He was like, good. Third. He was fine. He was fine. Yeah. I thought he was fine, you know. He was even great with the Raiders. It was great to beat up on him.
yes, it was. Oh, T-Hall. T-Hall. Shout out to T-Hall. Well, Andy, let the people know if they want to chat with you, how they can do so if you're on the social medias.
If you want to hit me up and follow me and see what kind of Falcon takes I have, you can on Twitter. The handle is at MAVE2124. Just hit me up. I'm more than happy to always talk Falcons. If you look at my feed, that's what 90% of it is. So go ahead and hit me up there.
Yes.
And if you can come up with a different handle for my name on there, that's great. I always have a tough time trying to come up with something catchy or funny.
Okay. There you go. All right, Andy. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Aaron, so much. Have a good night.
All right, man. Look forward to getting more emails from you to answer on future Q&As.
Oh, most definitely.
All right, man. You have a good one. All right, guys. Fan Talk in the books. Been a while. Shout out to Andy. Long time listener, or at least long time emailer. I'm assuming that he was listening to those podcasts. If you want to get on this Fan Talk action, you can do so by sending me an email at lockedonfalcons@mail.com. That is the show's email address, and just give me your contact information. If you have a Skype account, give me that username information. If you don't, just give me a phone number where I can reach you. Any sort of availability that you have in the coming weeks, we're going to try to do one of these fan talks. Try to do one a week from here until training camp, just to fill in that hashtag content. And in the meantime, if you want to provide additional content, we'll have more Q&As. We're going to do more scouting reports with Deidre Sinnott. Is coming up later this week. We might have another fan talk again later this week as well. And then another one the following week. And then hopefully another one the following week. So we're going to have more scouting reports, one a week, filling out the rest of this Falcons draft class, fan talks, potential Q&As if you guys have any topics. If you guys want me to have, you know, it's the end of the NBA season. I know a guy that happens to do a daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. I could bring him on to talk, you know, NBA playoffs, NBA finals, NBA draft. I know many of you guys are Hawks fans and maybe want to get some discussions into that. So that's something that we've done pretty consistently the last two summers. And why not make it a third? So all that stuff, if you want to provide that feedback on what you want this podcast to do over the summer months when we have nothing to really talk about, particularly once we get to these scouting reports. It's going to be like, hey, someone, Dan Quinn said something about this guy at OTAs. Okay, awesome. Let's parse through a 12-second sound bite from Dan Quinn and make it into a 30-minute podcast. Look, I've done it before, so we'll see. But again, if you want to get your feedback and sort of drive, you know, steer the ship, so to speak, on what we provide between now and training camp, you can do so. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm at FalFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know in the tweet. If it is podcast related, it's just easier to go ahead and send it over to the show's Twitter handle. That is Locked On Falcons. You can also reach me again at email address. That's LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. There is a Facebook page as well. That's Locked On Falcons. Of course, you can leave a comment at LockedOnFalcons.com or FalcFans.com where the podcast is posted daily. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. And we'll be back with more Deidrin Sonnot and fan talks later this week. And, of course, if any breaking news happens with the Falcons, we'll do a rapid reaction. I don't think it's going to happen for quite some time. But until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.